You know, we got a dog pound to represent out here, so we're going to try to do that the right way. And I think there is a price you have to pay in a National Football League to be good. And you got to pay it every day. Every day you walk in the building, every day you go in a classroom, every day you go in a weight room. And it's really important. And I think our guys are truly understanding that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He is Nathan Zagura. The man over there is former Super Bowl champion and former Buckeye linebacker Matt Wilhelm. Andrew Gribble will join us soon. Happy Mother's Day, guys. You do anything fun this morning, or what's the scoop?
Getting ready. Make my mom a nice dinner tonight. Celebrate the mothers out there. And, yes, happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes, and I actually cut away from the House of Blues gospel brunch with my mom and my wife celebrating Mother's Day to be here with all of you today.
So this might be Dog Pound. Is this Dog House Report then, or not Dog Report?
Not so much. I'll make it up through the rest of the day.
All right, just want to make sure.
Five in advance, Wilhelm. Here we go.
All right, let's start things off with rookie minicamp. That's coming up on a little bit later this week, Friday. Well, first time this year, we will see the draft picks and undrafted guys hit the field. What lies ahead, though, for the veterans on this team? Here's what Hugh Jackson expects from his older players on the offseason moves.
You know, there's no question the best in the room is going to stay here, but I tried to address that immediately. You know, on Monday, because I think it's important that you take the anxiety out of it.
Sure.
You know, at the same time, there are some really good players here and some guys that have done a tremendous job, and they will compete. And that's the great part about pro football. You never know how this is going to unfold until you give people an opportunity. And there are some guys here that truly deserve an opportunity, and there's guys that we drafted that are going to get an opportunity. So it's fun just to watch the cream kind of rise to the top, and that's really what pro football is all about at the end of the day.
Guys, when you turn over to a new head coach, there's always this fresh start approach to it. That can also hold true to veterans as well, can't it?
Absolutely. Hugh Jackson's going to come in here, and I like that he channeled the Macho Man. The cream always rises.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be an interesting thing for these veterans. Not only did you add the 14 rookies, you traded for Jamar Tiller, so that's 15, 11 undrafted free agents. That's 26 new guys. But these rookies, the veterans, they have a clean slate with Hugh Jackson, too. They have an opportunity to impress and stay here.
They absolutely do. And he said cream rises to the crop. It's a dog-eat-dog world, you know, and if you really want it, you're going to show these coaches, you're going to learn this scheme, you're going to do your very best to earn the right to don the Cleveland Browns uniform come September. It's not going to be easy.
All right. On top of the 14 players that were selected in this year's draft, the team has also agreed to term with several undrafted free agents. Let's take a look at some of these signings. And, guys, you tell me what names jump out to you. Dominic Alexander, Craddock, Dennis, Everett, Holtz, Howard. Who jumps out to you?
Well, from this page, it's Brad Craddock, former Lou Groza Award winner in 2014, is the best kicker in the nation, was an All-American that year out of Maryland. He's from Australia, and get this, before he transferred to Maryland, he went to Tabor Christian College, spelled exactly the same way as Chris Tabor. I think he's got a big leg. He made a 57-yarder. He'll push Travis Coons in that kicker competition.
What a great omen when your head coach or your special teams coach is the name of your college. All right, let's go through a couple more. There's too many cups of coffee for me this morning. A bunch of other names here for you. Lawrence, Mike Matthews seems to be the biggest name, though, of the undrafted
free agents. Great bloodlines.
It's all because of that. And Rose, Scob, and Stamps. What are your thoughts on that?
So Mike Matthews, as you mentioned, son of the Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, got that Matthews bloodline that dominates the NFL. A true center will come in and compete there. Niall Lawrence Stamples, the guy that stands out to me. First team All-ACC, nose tackle, big 320-pounder in the middle. And if they want to, at some point, move Danny Shelton to the three technique, kind of that big end like Haloti Ngata, this is a guy that could come in and plug the middle of your defense.
Matt, what do you think it's like for a guy to walk in who's undrafted? It's same as maybe being a walk-on in college, only at a much greater level?
A little similar, but I mean, for some of these guys, they might have not wanted to hear their name get called in the seventh round. So that way it allows them to pick where they want to go. So the Cleveland Browns wanted to reach out to these guys and bring them to Cleveland, but they had to want to come to Cleveland to compete as well. So they might see an opportunity here in Cleveland. And I just know that, you know, yes, I was drafted, but Antonio Gates, Chris Dielman, and Kasim Osgood were multiple Pro Bowl players that came out of my draft class that were undrafted free agents. So Isaiah Crowell, Kaywan Williams, Tashawn Gibson, all Browns or former Browns that were undrafted that made an impact on this football team.
All right, let's take a little bit more of a closer look at this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. One position the Browns didn't draft, which some thought might have happened at the earliest pick possible with Ezekiel Elliott. Some people
had
their fingers crossed on that. Didn't happen. They didn't address the running back position. Here's Hugh Jackson on the team's backfield.
I really think Isaiah Crowell is a really good running back, you know, and I think he's going to have a sensational season. I really do. And I think Duke Johnson obviously burst on the scene last year, and I think he's going to have a great year as well. I mean, those two guys are as good as I've seen in a while because they have some very, you know, their talent is extreme. You know, obviously Isaiah is very explosive. He's got quick feet. He's fast in the hole. He runs with good pad level. And then Duke has suddenness and quickness, and he can go catch the ball with anybody. And he does so many different things that gives your offense a boost.
Nathan, they didn't draft a running back. I thought that was the second biggest statement they made in the draft outside of taking 14 guys. What does that mean for the offense as a whole?
Well, that was Hugh's response to my question. Was this a vote of confidence for Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson? And emphatically, he answered, yes, it was. 14 draft picks, 11 undrafted free agents, not a single running back amongst them. It means that he's confident in these young running backs to come out and kind of fill in where Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard left off in Cincinnati. And this is going to be a team that will run the football. It's a power offense. You saw on the undrafted Patrick Skov, a fullback was amongst those. So this is going to be a team that uses power running and then mixes in Duke Johnson, who can do it all.
Yeah, what it says to me is that when Hugh Jackson and Kirby Wilson and Pep Hamilton sat down and watched last year's tape, they liked what they saw out of Isaiah Crowell. They liked what they saw out of Duke Johnson. And as I mentioned, you add Kirby Wilson, a guy that's coached Adrian Peters for a number of years. They feel that these two guys, given the right opportunity in Hugh Jackson's scheme, can take the next step and not need to add a young player that might mess up the dynamic in that room.
All right, as we mentioned before, rookie camp just days away now. Here's what Hugh Jackson expects from rookie camp this week, especially as we just talked about the guys on offense.
Our offense is nowhere close to where I think it would be by the time we get to training camp, because you got to take all the pieces and put it together. And that's the fun part, you know. So I need to really see them and fill them and have our staff do the same. But we'll get a chance to have them run around in shorts and catch some balls and make some plays and kind of go from there.
Accomplish running around in shorts and trying to get this offense together.
Well, I think it's mostly what they're going to be able to do in the classroom. How quickly can they learn the playbook? A guy like Corey Coleman at Baylor never had a playbook, would look to the sideline to get his signal. So how quickly can they assimilate, understand the verbiage, run their route concepts, et cetera, and get out there and
absolutely
produce?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. I know that the Cowboys have had their minicamp this past week, and the Broncos have, the Rams have. And all coaches made mention of getting this information to the players in advance, their ability to grab that information and go out in that rookie minicamp and in small sessions, put that out on the football field. No, hey, I took it in, I grasped it, I understood it, and I show you on the football field.
Just real quickly, how nerve-wracking is it when you walk in for the first time as a rookie into your first camp?
It's the rookie minicamp is not going to be nerve-wracking when the OTA start and you're with the vets, you're watching your P's and Q's, and you're really just following the leader at that point.
All right, still plenty more to come on Dog Pound Report. Up next, we are going to talk to the voice of Baylor football. He is John Morris. We're going to get the skinny, obviously, on a couple of Baylor Bears that will now call the Browns home. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Earlier this week, we had a chance to catch up with the play-by-play voice of the Baylor football team, the Baylor Bears. That's John Morris. Here's what he had to say about former Baylor players, Corey Coleman and Spencer Drago.
You are getting some great guys, great football players, but great people also from Baylor. Corey Coleman has worked so hard and left a year early, obviously, but he is a very, very talented receiver. We think the best receiver in the draft this year. And then Spencer Drango is just a salt of the earth kind of guy. Quality person, great academically, great athletically, All-American offensive lineman. So you're getting two really, really good guys with these two draft picks.
All right, Nathan, let's start off with Drango first. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year, All-American, a guy who played at tackle and held a lot of those big pass rushers in check there. One of Pro Football Focus's top 10 run-blocking offensive linemen last year at the tackle position. So this is a guy that can play at tackle, or the Browns could slide him in, have him play at guard, could compete for that right guard spot going forward.
All right, both of these guys, and your thoughts on that?
Yes, I love the Drango pick. I think you need to add, you know, mean, angry offensive linemen to this mix and get younger along the offensive line as well, which we did in Batonio a few years ago. But I love this Coleman pick. I really did. And I had an inclination just a few days before the draft, and I made it known on Cleveland Browns Daily, that my guy, and I'd changed my whole mock draft, and I wanted Corey Coleman in a Browns uniform. Just looking at the intangibles, the vertical, the broad jump, the speed, and knowing what the Bengals offense became when they had multiple weapons, I think Corey Coleman is the first piece. I'll say Gary Barnidge is the first piece. Corey Coleman is now the second piece for whoever it is that plays quarterback in Hugh Jackson's scheme.
Mm. All right, let's talk a little bit more, and we'll solely talk about Corey Coleman now. Here's what John Morris saw in Coleman from their time together in Waco.
You know, Corey is just so competitive. You'll see that when you're around him, but he's just ultra competitive, and he's got great ability. I mean, he's got great God-given talent, and then he'll go out there and just beat any defensive back to the ball. He's got the great speed, which is a plus, but then he'll battle for the ball if he needs to, and he's just got that competitive desire that that gets him the football when a lot of guys might not make the catch and get to the end zone a lot of times when other guys might not be able to.
Nathan, I think the thing I like most about this pick is it hopefully ends that talk about not having a weapon. And now you have a weapon, and I'm dying to watch him play in the NFL because I'm excited about the thought of being able to have a go-to guy.
Oh, he's a go-to guy. He's a big-time playmaker, 20 touchdowns in only 8 games, over 40 plays of 20 or more yards. And you just watch his releases. With the way he gets off the line, he spins guys around. He can beat you vertically, and he can also turn a short pass into a big play with his abilities after the catch. And he was talking about his competitiveness.
Sure.
Art Briles said, this is a guy who will rip your heart out and watch it go to its final beat because that's how bad he wants to beat you.
I love that about him. I think, you know, what he brings from a confidence and just an explosive playmaking ability to that entire wide receiver room. Yes, he's going to be a young guy. He's going to be learning the ropes, but I think other guys are going to thrive off what this guy's going to bring to the offense because it will make more opportunities for players like Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins because of the speed and explosiveness of Corey Coleman in this offense.
Well, just real quick, take that from the defensive side of the ball.
You got a game plan for him.
Right.
Yeah, you got to put two guys on him. And I think if I understand Hugh Jackson's offense well, we should be moving Corey Coleman around until we have an accent weapon at wide receiver that can be as big of a threat as Corey will be. So moving him around, you know, lining him up in the slot, winning inside and winning outside, that's what something Corey Coleman did at Baylor.
All right, we talked about the mini camp. So now the next question for both these Baylor guys is how will they adjust to life in the NFL?
I think these guys are mature. I think they're ready to move on to the next level, to the NFL. I mean, Corey's leaving after his junior year, but he's ready. You know, we had our senior day, our last home game of the season in 2015, and he was introduced with the seniors, and that doesn't happen very often. So that was sort of a, homage from our coaches to say, we know you're leaving, but we want to recognize you on senior day. So that is one aspect that shows that he's ready to move on to the next level of his career. And Spencer is just very, very mature. He could have left last year, I think, and been fine in the NFL. But certainly now, after 4 years, 5 years here at Baylor, he's mature and ready to go into the NFL.
Matt, I think the answer is always like, well, what's the difference between college and pros? Speed. Everyone says speed.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what the sport is, but there's a lot more to it than speed.
There absolutely is, and I think some of it even happens off the field. It's the accountability to, you know, pay the bills for yourself, be out on your own in a new city, new teammates, new coaches, grasping all of that, taking it in, and yet still being able to perform under the pressure of being a number one pick or a draft pick in both of these guys' case. And I think Corey Coleman is a guy that, as we heard in a lot of these draft picks, they mention work hard, hard worker. And that's exactly what Hugh Jackson wants. That's exactly what Sashi Brown drafted. And I look forward to seeing that at rookie minicamp and carrying it over throughout the offseason.
And we also could be Baylor North next year, as we all have talked about that. John Morris has clearly had a chance to see RG3 live and in action while he was at Baylor. So what are the Browns now getting in RG3?
Well, it's really fun to see Rob get another chance with another team. He is the greatest guy in the world. He's the greatest ambassador for Baylor and Baylor football maybe than we've ever had. There's a statue outside our stadium of Robert Griffin, so that shows how we feel about him. And we're just so glad he gets another chance with a new team, fresh start there in Cleveland. I think he's going to do really, really well. He is just so, he's so athletic to start with. He is so smart. You know, he left high school a semester early to come to Baylor and go through spring drills at Baylor in what would have been his senior year in high school, and he's just that driven. So I think he'll do really well with this fresh start. You guys probably know already, you know, how great he is to deal with, his dealings with the media. So it's exciting to see him in Cleveland, and I'll tell you what, with Rob there and with Corey there and Spencer, there's a lot of Cleveland Browns fans here in Central Texas now.
All right, that Browns Backers Club is getting bigger. RG3, you know, you hear about the statue, you hear about all those things. Let's talk about this transition for him and being able to have another chance and owning the job and taking this team over.
Yeah, the good news is for him, what happened in Washington is gone. And now he's here in Cleveland. And I really think we're going to see if RG3 can play in the NFL. He's got to work on his processing of information from the pocket. But he's going to do everything he can. He's working very hard, already taking on a leadership role with his team. And Hugh Jackson is going to do whatever he can to get the best out of him. So I think at the end of this year, now they got him some weapons and Corey Coleman and maybe Josh Gordon comes back and the other guys they drafted, we're really going to find out if RG3 can do it. And I feel pretty optimistic about his chances.
All right. We want to thank Mr. Morris, the play-by-play voice of Baylor football, for helping us out this week. Matt, we'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the rest of your day on Mother's Day. And please tell everyone we said hello and happy Mother's Day. Up next, Andrew Gribble stops by. We are going to debate which one of the Browns rookies will have the biggest impact next season. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're watching Dog Pound Report right here on News Channel 5. Joining us now, our good buddy, Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble. That is you, right? You get all the credit for that, right? No. Mad Scribble?
No, Sir Andrew. He's a knight.
Everyone has taken credit for many of my nicknames, so I'll let that one maybe go to Nathan, maybe go to you. We'll see.
That's all you, man. Mad Scribble.
Are you kidding?
That's all you.
I thought that was you.
No,
one
Sir
day
Andrew.
I looked, it said the Mad Scribble. I was all set. All right, we are going to debate some topics as we do from week to week when both you guys are on here. So let's start off with this one. When it comes to which side of the ball the rookies are going to have the greatest impact, Gribble, which side will they have the greatest impact?
Well, let me be clear before I say this. The Browns did amazing work in the draft to upgrade their offense. But when I'm looking at just 2016, I'm seeing immediate impact guys on this defense. And that obviously starts with Emmanuel Ogba, the number 32 pick, a player that they absolutely had to love to use that 32 pick because they had so many trade offers to go into that spot. But he's someone that immediately upgrades a pass rush that desperately needs attention. And he's someone that can threaten the quarterback on every single play. He's one of many in this group that I think can threaten and contend for starting jobs, joining a Carl Nassib. I think you have an opening there on the defensive line. A Joe Schobert, you can move him around situationally. And also Derek Kindred, a wide-open safety battle right now, and he's someone that's tough enough to play through a broken collarbone. I just see a lot of potential starters.
Debate him.
Come on, man. Listen, where were the Browns the most efficient at the wide receiver position? 2015. 8 total touchdowns from these wide receivers. Nobody at 1,000 yards. Only one guy over 650. This is the NFL in 2015. Are we serious? 2014, same thing. 8 total touchdowns from the receivers. No 1,000-yard receiver. One guy over 650 yards. You bring in Corey Coleman, who had 20 touchdowns in 8 games a year ago. You bring in the all-time receptions leader at UCLA and Jordan Payton. The all-time receptions, yards, and touchdowns leader in Hollywood Higgins. These receivers are going to come in and fundamentally change this offense. And Hugh Jackson wants to throw the football around the yard. So advantage offense, not to mention Sean Coleman's going to come in and likely start at right tackle.
See, I agree with you long term, but short term, I'm looking at those day two picks. You got two offensive guys that, in an ideal situation, you're not going to want them to have this immediate impact in 2016. Coleman and Cody Kessler.
Okay, pick one. Just pick one.
Pick one who's the biggest impact overall, or just
one rookie?
Corey Coleman, obviously. Okay. Changes everything.
I'm going to go with Ogba in year one. I think Coleman is going to develop into a great playmaker, but Emmanuel Ogba can step in right away, help out Paul Kruger. You can't just leave Kruger out there all by himself. You need pressure from both sides. Emmanuel Ogba.
I don't know. His argument's pretty good. You want to counter that?
Are you kidding? Have you watched Hugh Jackson coach in the National Football League? It's about throwing the football, dynamic wide receivers making plays. We haven't had that other than the 1 year with Josh Gordon, and before that, the 1 year with Braylon Edwards. Corey Coleman is going to change things. Teams are going to have to game plan for him. They haven't had a game plan for anybody on our offense the last two seasons. They will have to game plan for Corey Coleman. That's a big toy for Hugh Jackson.
All right, Hollywood Higgins.
You know, he's the guy that I look at in this day three group. Now, I'm probably countering some of the arguments I just made. But
that's all right. Come on to the right side.
Of the four wide receivers the Browns drafted, no one is coming in more prepared for a pro-style offense than Rashard Higgins. He's someone that produced at a high level for the last couple of years at Colorado State. There was only one game in his entire career that he didn't start. I mean, this was an immediate impact kind of player. I think he's feeling a little disrespected by how far he fell in the draft. Some had him projected as a second rounder, but he's someone that can really step in and be better than his draft status.
Scooby Wright, more than a special teams player. Yes, no, and why?
I think he's going to come in as a special teams guy. He's going to compete. Obviously, a great name for the Dog Pound coming out of the University of Arizona, where 2 years ago he was considered to be maybe the best linebacker in the country, as you see here, getting to the quarterback. I think at this level he's going to have to play on the inside, but I like Scooby Wright. But if you're going to ask me between these two who's going to have a bigger impact, I'm going Hollywood, like the Hulkster Hollywood. Higgins, because this is a guy 2 years ago was a Biletnikoff Award finalist when he had Garrett Grayson, a competent NFL quarterback, over 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns, 6'1". He dropped because he ran a 4.640. You know what? Big deal. So did Alshon Jeffrey. He can be productive in this league, and he will be.
Gribbs, what do you got? ClevelandBrowns.com.
Well, we're building up. We got so much draft. So when you draft 14 guys, you're going to have a lot to write about. But Friday coming up, rookie minicamp, that's a big one. One of the most fun events that we get to watch. A lot of competition, some potential diamonds in the rough to sign and add to this roster.
All right, we're following along. We're following you on Twitter and, of course, on ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew Gribble, make sure you read them every day, ClevelandBrowns.com. Nathan and I will be right back to wrap up the show with your Twitter questions. That's up next on Dog Pound Report. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura. Time now to answer a couple of your Twitter questions. Please use the hashtag AskDPR. And I'm just going to cut right to the chase on our first question. Piton underscore J says, how similar is this Browns offense going to be to Cincinnati? English and spelling really don't ever count on Twitter. So
no,
I'll just ask
only 140
characters. Although the spelling's right on there.
That's right. So okay. It's going to be very similar. This is what Hugh Jackson has done. This is how he's been successful. If you go all the way back to Oakland, all the way to Cincinnati, vertical passing, creating big plays, getting the football down the field along with a power running game. It's going to be the same. What's going to be different are the window dressing, the way that he disguises formations, that he disguises his concepts. But the concepts himself, the principles behind his offense will remain the same because that's what's got him to this point to be a head coach. He's not going to go away from that now.
All right, so when you play Cincinnati, you got to change something up there. I mean, they know what you're going to do. It's almost like the NBA playoffs. You know what the other team's going to do.
Yeah, they're going to know your tendency. So they may know that in the past when you had, let's say, two tight ends on the left, et cetera, you were going to run this play 75% of the time. So you'll run into play action off of that instead of giving them the run that they're expecting. So it's kind of building those counter punches onto the things that they have already seen.
All right, let's just talk about the rookies for a second. We've got about 30 seconds left. What an exciting time for these guys to come in here. You get to put your jersey on with the other rookies, and I think you get a chance to be comfortable before the vets come in.
Well, and they don't know anything about the history of the Browns. So they have a chance to come in here as this massive group and really impact change as the first wave of the Hugh Jackson era.
All right. Looking forward to it. Maybe, well, you can't play golf today. It's Mother's Day.
No, that's right. It's Mother's
Day.
Happy Mother's Day,
everybody out there. And please have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine and Cavs tonight. Don't forget that. We'll have our post-game show coming up at 6 o'clock. Thanks for watching Dog Pound Report.